You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Well, you heard the man. He's got the dulcet tones and the classic pipes. It's that time of week, and you've put in your hours, and you've done your chores, and you've even polished off your honey-do list. So sit back and enjoy. We got this. And yes, I'm very humbled and proud that you took the time to listen, and I appreciate all the positive responses we've gotten. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. So go to geico.com for a free rate quote. Now, there are three types of people in the world: those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who wonder what happened. Tonight, we make it happen, and we've got so much to cover. We're going to cram 3 hours into 1 hour. We're going to bring you up close into what I am officially calling it the Hotel California NBA. Yes, you can check out anytime you want, but you can never leave. Watch how many people steal that one from me over the airwaves the next few weeks. All right, we move on. We will also dive into America's tragic former pastime, Major League Baseball, and take an objective look into their diatribe. Also, we're going to have an NFL overview and a best bet, plus a quick NHL hit, and then Mackin' on Sports. Sports are entertainment, but they're more than that. They're a shared experience. As such, people want to talk about them, so you've come to the right place. We've got a lot to talk about tonight. This is Straight Out of Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. And as they say in Joe Mauer, Minnesota, it's going to be lit. But first, let's welcome in my co-host tonight for the full hour, the only two-time winner of the prestigious Hilton, now Westgate, Super Contest, Mr. Steve Fezzik. And Fez, we start with the fact that Thursday, June 4th, after 79 days of dormancy, 57 Las Vegas hotels, sportsbooks, casinos returned to the open arms of a grateful nation.
Absolutely, and really it happened Wednesday night at midnight, downtown The D. It's owned by Derek Stevens, and Derek went ahead and jumped the gun a little bit in front of everyone else, and he opened up his casino at 12:01 Thursday morning, and by all reports, it was rocking at The D. Pent-up demand, people wanting to gamble, Bernie.
Well, they were pouring champagne. It was a party, and it was, frankly, the foot traffic was extremely brisk. And it's been that way throughout the weekend, tonight, Saturday night. Fez, I've, traipsed into three or four casinos myself. These are my takeaways. It's all about sanitation, disinfecting, personal hygiene. It's incredibly clean, shiny. They smell good. There are partitions. There are plexiglass partitions. There's plenty of space to navigate and move around. And as I told Arnie and Aaron, South Point's even taking an additional step of cleaning its sportsbook and racebook and bingo room and restaurants every single night with something called an electrostatic fogging machine. If you saw the Ghostbuster backpack, you get my drift. But the point of the matter is, it seems like they're taking it very serious. I want everybody to know across the country, Vegas has got you on this one. It's safe, it feels good, and everybody's having a great time.
Yeah, and you know what? I got to be honest here. It is extremely comforting for me to be able to go into a casino. It has been so long. That's how I make my living: gambling, betting on sports, playing poker at times, and just walking. I walked into the Wynn Casino on Thursday. Free parking, by the way. Yep. Now. So MGM, the Wynn, almost every property, I believe, now is having complimentary parking. A lot of the properties had started to charge for it. They want you back. You walk in, handing out free masks for all the patrons. The employees are wearing masks. And like, you nailed it. Security and safety is a huge concern. And these casinos are really stepping up to bat. And when I went to the sports book at the Wynn, Bernie, I noticed all the chairs were spaced out much more, and I was just so comforted. I was pretty much alone, no games going on, in that sports book, looking up at the screen, exhaling, saying, hey, it's back.
And you know, back in late February, early March, I don't know that I ever heard the term social distancing, and now we hear it every 16 seconds, but you didn't stop to think about it. You weren't cognizant of it. But as you walk through the casinos, sports books, hotels, the general areas, There's a lot of space. There really is, more than you think. It was always there. We just never thought about it. And every other slot machine is open. So there's distancing right there. And in fact, you've got a chart here in terms of the commission guidelines, Nevada Gaming Commission guidelines, in terms of allowable capacity by game.
Yeah, half capacity on the casino floor. And then in the specific games blackjack table, just three players. A lot of the casinos are going to have plexiglass between the players. Craps, six players. Roulette, four players. And this is late, just breaking this week, Bernie. And this is key.
Poker?
Poker.
Up to
five.
Yes.
And it may not sound like a big difference between four and five, and I can tell you it is an enormous difference because poker works with five players, and it really does not work well at all with four or fewer players.
1,000%. And by the way, congratulations to the gentleman from L.A., who walked into Caesars last night, played progressive poker, walked away with a royal flush and $670,000. And look, blackjack, I'll go toe-to-toe with anybody. RJ talked about the Thorpe book the other day. I read that book many, many years ago in 1979. And even the Ken Houston book, Beat the Dealer. Listen, I understand how to do all that. We're not going to talk about that tonight. But back to your poker thing. It's my understanding you're professional. If a game gets down to four, you're going to leave. You're not even going to stay. There is no game with four. Is that right? Is that pretty much right?
Well, the professionals actually are perfectly happy playing shorthanded. It's the tourists that don't like it because, let's face it, poker is social. You like lots of people at the table, and you don't like to feel like you're always being pressured to make a decision. It's so rapid when you're playing four-person poker. Pros will play heads up, so they're perfectly happy with it. The problem is you just don't have the tourists that are going to want to play it.
So come on out. We're waiting for you here in Vegas. I believe the pools are open as well. Now, the buffets are not yet, but it's my understanding the Wynn Buffet is going to open June 15th or June 17th.
Is that right? Are they going to go ahead? I have a theory. I think you may have heard
this. They're going to be servers, I believe.
Yes, servers will give you the food.
Yes. Yeah. So anyway, I'm very impressed with the way this city has coalesced and really we're able to hit the ground running. As I want to take I want to give a tip of the cap to the NBA, as I just called them, the Hotel California NBA. They're all going to descend to Orlando July 7th and resume the regular season, eight games, and they will lead to a playoff. And, of course, Fez, we're going to get to a specific point that you made earlier in the week that I think is pretty heady about one team that might actually benefit from this new format. Based on the continuity of their roster, save that for just a second. But what are your takeaways heading into this whole situation? I'm of the belief that whoever wins this should not be saddled with an asterisk.
Oh, I don't even think it's a discussion. I think you've talked about Joe Gibbs and the Washington Redskins. No one remembers they only played nine games in 1983.
They played three with replacement players. And then they went to Super Bowl 20, Super Bowl 17. So it was 1982 season, 1983 Super Bowl, where the Redskins beat Miami, and three games were played that year with replacement players, if you remember.
Yeah, and the Spurs won a shortened season. The Heat won one. I don't think if you asked anyone to even name those years, most people couldn't even do it. It's a non-factor.
Check that. I've got to correct my mistake. The replacement players were 87. The 88 Redskins won it. But to your point, they only played nine games. All right. So one of the reasons they're talking about an asterisk, most of the teams will play 70 games or thereabout. And by the way, I understand they're going to seed based on winning percentage, not number of wins or losses, because there'll be staggered amount of games various teams played.
Yeah, but it probably will work out virtually the same regardless. And bottom line is it makes sense. You have the teams come back, play eight more games in the regular season, especially makes sense because a lot of the local TV contracts, Bernie, kick in a full payment for that individual team if that team plays 70 games. The NBA, no dummies here, trying to get teams to play 70 regular season games. I will say this in the handicapping, it will be very interesting to see in the East. They invited the Washington Wizards. How interested are the Wizards really going to be to try to catch within four games of Memphis? Get this, if they get within four games of Memphis after eight games, then they'll play Memphis in the 8-9 play-in series, and if the Wizards can somehow manage to play so far above their heads and win both those games, they will be in the playoffs with the right to get crushed by the Milwaukee Bucks.
Well, and what's interesting is if you're feeling saucy right now, per Caesar's Palace, the Wizards are plus 25,000 to win it all. $100 will bring you back $25,000 if you are feeling so inclined. It's a pretty good opportunity to hedge, though. I'm not a fish better. I don't.
It's a pretty good opportunity to lose.
Absolutely,
you might as well make that bet.
Let's go with your. Yeah, let's go with your premise.
Same chance of winning, of getting that royal flush.
But I want to revisit something because I do think it's important to note. I don't want any. You know, look, just by virtue of the fact that the format is going to be completely different, there are going to be no home games, no fans. They're all going to be in this bubble. So someone's going to say this is an asterisk of a season. All right, on the face of it, yeah. And we know how these things work. Go, you know, there's been, history is replete with examples. And if you're the team who won, no, it's not an asterisk. If you're the team who lost, yeah, it's an asterisk. But don't tell that to the 81 Dodgers, who came off the strike-shortened season and won the pennant. The 1995 New Jersey Devils. And that didn't start till January of 1995. There was a lockout. We just talked about Joe Gibbs' Redskins. It's twice in the NBA. LeBron's first championship with the 2012 Heat. They only played 66 games that year. The 1999 Spurs only played 50 games. So they're not only going to play 70 games, which is just under 90% of the season, but to win this thing, you're going to have to go into this odd, unique, pristine environment and play under conditions that no one has ever had to. And if you can navigate through all that and you win, you, I think, are a legitimate champion. I really mean that. And Fez, you have one team that you think is actually going to benefit from the way this is going to run.
Yeah, so basically there's three teams that are all co-favorites to win it all, the two L.A. teams and the Milwaukee Bucks. The Clippers are the shortest price of those, or the longest price of those three, but those are the big three contenders. I really think, Bernie, that Milwaukee has the edge here because of continuity. If you look at Milwaukee's lineup, they really didn't change very much at all in terms of the new players that they added this year that have any kind of significant playing time. Wes Matthews, Kyle Korver play some, but neither one of them is one of their top five scorers. Contrast that with the Lakers and the Clippers, who not only had some significant changes in the rosters to start the season, but my goodness, you look at the Clippers, they added Marcus Morris and Reggie Jackson. Both those players have played 12 or fewer games, and so you've got Kawhi Leonard and Paul George still learning. They're teammates. There's so many. The extra games would have benefited the Clippers so much more than any other team, and certainly the Lakers as well. Advantage Milwaukee Bucks shortening the season.
You know, it would be a great, I believe it would be a great story to see Milwaukee win it. While everybody's looking at the Lakers and Clippers, just like last year, everybody was looking at Golden State. And who comes out of nowhere? Kawhi Leonard. And people want to give that championship an asterisk. But look, that was a very good Toronto Raptor team. And you know what? You can't really go to sleep on them this year either. Could you see a scenario where Toronto upends Milwaukee?
No, not at all.
Okay.
The baby dinosaurs, before they had Kawhi, what was the book on them? Well, they'd always have a really good regular season record, and then Toronto did nothing in the playoffs, and Kawhi changed all that. So Van Vliet and company, hey, they've had a really good year for Toronto. I see them as being pretenders, not contenders. By the way, let me give you a quick odds update here. Milwaukee plus 270 to win the title. Lakers the same, plus 270.
Yes.
Co-favorites.
Saw that.
And Clippers plus 340 right now. Bet 100 gets you 340 if the Clippers win.
Well, seeing Milwaukee get that kind of respect will give our good buddy Dan Beyer a good feeling because he's been touting the Bucks. And I'll tell you what, I wouldn't go to sleep on them. Would it surprise you if the Bucks won the championship?
Oh, not at all. And
right.
In fact, right here at Straight Out of Vegas, I gave out Milwaukee Bucks 3-1 earlier in the year to win the title. So, and I'm still bullish on Milwaukee.
One last thing about the NBA. I'm very happy that this year they did not decide to go to the 1-16 seed for several reasons. You've already played 80% of the games. It would have been an imbalanced schedule. No reason to change in midstream and do something gimmicky in what's already going to be a gimmicky season, right? I also believe that there is genuine bragging rights to come out of the East this year. You talked about Giannis, the Greek Freak, and the Milwaukee Bucks. They love to get to the finals. They haven't been there in forever. How about the Celtics? Can Jason Tatum emerge as the alpha dog to lead the Celtics back to the promised land? And we forget, lest we forget, the Toronto Raptors are playing very good basketball. They've got something to prove without Kawhi Leonard. They're going to be a tough out.
Yeah, and Tatum really stepped up his game. He went from a top 20 player to a top 10 player this year, and Boston is dangerous because of that, and that's the one team that I'm worried about in the East with Milwaukee.
Get your free credit scorecard today, even if you're not a Discover customer. To include your FICO credit score, and checking your scorecard won't hurt your credit. Learn more at discover.com/credit scorecard. Limitations apply. He is Steve Fezzik. I'm Bernie Fratto. Coming up, Major League Baseball. Well, if you've heard me on this show with Arnie and Aaron, I was on with Mike Harmon and LeVar Arrington last week, and I've been on multiple shows talking about the facts. It's May 16th because I covered the 94 strike, that baseball was in trouble this year. Maybe you'll start to believe me. I'm not saying they're not going to play, but it feels just like 1994. Got some updates, so don't go anywhere. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted to. Don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas.
Straight Outta Vegas!
The great Bernie Fratto, folks.
We are back on Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. What does it mean when Geico says just 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance? Means you probably should have gone to geico.com 15 minutes ago. Fez, Major League Baseball's on life support right now. Could they play? Sure. But I covered the 94 strike, and it feels just like that. Just a couple of quickies that I don't think, a couple of items that I think are being very underreported. First of all, the players and the owners had set up June 1st. They called it a soft date, but no, it was more than a soft date. They needed to get a deal done by June 1st because they wanted to deploy by June 10th to the various spring training sites, have a three-week spring training start in July. The owners want to finish the season by November 1st to protect the integrity of their $787 million TV contract, which they can salvage this year. No playoffs, a serious financial hit to baseball. The players are willing to play past November 1st, but the owners are concerned if, in fact, there was a second wave of the coronavirus, it could kibosh everything and hurt that, you know, hurt the possibility or put into jeopardy their TV contract and the revenues. We've all heard it a thousand times now. The owners will lose $640,000 per game in every game they play without the fans. The players would love to play 82 games or 114 games because they agreed to full half prorated salary based on the number of games played. So, look, this is no longer a negotiation. Last week I called it a test of wills. Now I'm officially calling it a high-stakes game of chicken because that's what it is. And there's a lot of rhetoric, there's a lot of platitudes, and there's a lot of barbs going back and forth. They would seemingly be in the area of splittable differences, but their mood and their tenor and their inflexibility is just so that they don't really seem to be communicating.
And I'm going to blame both the MLB owners and the players for bad faith negotiation, and here's why, Bernie. Back in March, there's no talk about playing a 50-game season or a 114-game season. Everyone was pretty much in agreement. Hey, we're going to start this back up in July. We're going to play 3 months, July, August, September. That's going to be about 82 games, and the players are going to get paid the same per game. But since we're only going to have half the season, the players are going to get half their salaries. Everything's good. Now, all of a sudden, we're still in a situation where we can play in July, August, and September. So why did the MLB players say, let's keep playing till it starts snowing outside? Let's play 114 games, obviously, because it's better for them. Why do the owners say a 48-game season? Because, like you said, they're going to lose every game because they're not going to get any gate. There's not going to be any fans. But there's no reason for either of those proposals. The fans want to see baseball July, August, and September. We don't want to see baseball in November. We want to see baseball during those months. That's about 82 games. So why are both of these in these negotiations? Why are both parties not proposing an 82-game season? Bottom line is the first group that comes back and says, look, the owners can come back and say, look, 82 games, and we need the players to take maybe a 15% pay cut on that pro rata deal. Or the players can come back and say, 82 games, and we'll take a 10% reduction. As soon as one of those two parties puts that final offer out and the other side rejects it, there'll be a winner and a loser. And I am just amazed that neither side has figured this out, that they should put out a proposal, a reasonable proposal that could consist of 82 games, not a ridiculous 114 or 48.
Well, it would have been 82. The owners... Didn't know there weren't going to be fans. You would have thought they would have planned better. That's why they put a proviso. And apparently the New York Post has an email from an MLB lawyer stating that the owners could reopen negotiations if there were no fans. But let's get to the larger issue, because if I listen to the subtext of what you're saying is, why can't common sense cooler heads prevail? We're in a pandemic. 40 million people lost their jobs because baseball has always been tone deaf. And this is where I draw the parallel to 94. In 1994, they were having a glorious season. Matt Williams had 43 home runs. He was the one that was supposed to break Roger Maris's record. Tony Gwynn was hitting .394. He was going to be the next 400 hitter. The Montreal Expos were in first place. The Cleveland Indians were in first place. What did everybody say? They won't strike. There's too much to lose. On July 29th, 1994, the players drew a line in the sand and said, if we don't have a deal, we're walking out August 12th. Murray Chass of the New York Times wrote, that won't happen because the union's got too much to lose. They're making more money than ever. And look what they did. Let's draw a parallel to now. Everybody says, they've got to play baseball. Well, they're going to play because, you know, we're in a pandemic, so they'll come to their cooler senses. No, they won't. I don't know. I'll give it a small percentage. But since May 16th, I've been saying they're in trouble. And here's the other issue, when you can also compare to 1994, the fact that the owners wanted a salary cap. That's what caused the strike. And so when the CBA in 94 expired on January 1st of 94, when they couldn't get a deal, the owner said, we're going to declare an impasse. You are not negotiating in good faith and will unilaterally implement a salary cap. The player struck. Guess what baseball's saying now? Rob Manfred, the commissioner, can implement and mandate a 48-game season. Now, we don't know if the players will show up for it or not. And in terms of why can't they have an 82-game season, the owners would take it. But they did that ridiculous sliding scale proposal when some of the players would have had to take a 77% pay cut. They're not going to do it. And here's the dirty little secret, and you can have the last word on this because I'm blue in the face. A high percentage of players, more than you think, don't care if they play this year at this point. And there's a handful of owners, maybe as many as five, that don't care if they play this year. So I don't know where the motivation is.
Yeah, let me talk about motivation of the fans, because there is a certain percentage of the fans, I'm going to say 15 to 20%, that if you guys can't figure it out this year, I needed you. I got no sports in America right now. No team sports going on in July. If you can't get this deal done, I'm going to speak for like 15 to 20% of the fans. Well, then next year, whenever you start up, I don't care. I'll watch Joey Chestnut eat hot dogs in July, and I'll watch golf and tennis. Thank you very much. I can live without baseball.
Well, we have historical perspective, Fez. When baseball came back in 95, 20% of the fans didn't come along with it. They even had replacement players for a minute. It took about 4 years until 1998 and the famous home run chase between Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa to essentially save the game and now what has become known in common parlance as the steroid era. Up next, hey, the NFL, they're going to play this year. We got some stuff about them. And how about the NHL? We almost never talk hockey, but Fez has a couple of bullet points he wants to share with you. But first, let's go to the man. He is so cool. He went to a psychic last week and told her the future. It's Brian Finley with the latest.
Wow, I love it, Birdie. Thank you so much. Amanda Nunes making an embarrassment of Felicia Spencer, just wrecked her in Saturday's headline fight at UFC 250 in Vegas. Nunes prevailing by unanimous decision. Spencer's face seeping with blood towards the end of that bout with her forehead swelling. Nunes claiming an 11 straight win. UFC President Dana White telling reporters afterwards his grandiose plan for Fight Island, you know, that secluded, hidden piece of land somewhere on Earth. Well, the fight events will take place there, but not for the upcoming June 27th card. He expects that site to house fights starting in July. UFC figurehead Conor McGregor is reverting back to retirement. He said via Twitter he is done. McGregor is ending his career, mind you, for the third time in the last 4 years. And it was only about a week ago when he wrote on Twitter that he vowed to fight UFC legend Anderson Silva in the octagon. And finally, the Iowa Hawkeyes put strength coach Chris Doyle on administrative leave and will subject him to an independent review after a number of former Hawkeye players have come forward alleging Doyle's racist tendencies. Back to Bernie Fratto and the Straight Out of Vegas crew.
Thanks so much, Brian. Fez, we're less than 100 days away from kickoff in the NFL, and that's assuming they start on time, which until I see evidence to the contrary, I'm going to assume they are. So it's never too soon for you to begin analyzing reality versus fantasy, for lack of a better term. And power ratings, which are right up your alley, one of the things you do so well is finding discrepancies and market inefficiencies between what NFL power ratings are published and what your power ratings are, and finding an edge between the two.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're starting to see our lists come out, various parties and where they're ranking teams. I got to be honest, Bernie. You just got to question some of the ratings that you see. As an example, I know ESPN had the Pittsburgh Steelers being the number 14 team in their power ratings, and I've got Pittsburgh number 6 in my ratings. Certainly expect with Big Ben coming back instead of, oh my goodness, Rudolph and Duck Hodges at quarterback. The Steelers had a top 5 defense. I expect that that offense is going to be above average. You have to put the Steelers in the top 10.
So Pittsburgh is underrated by the way you grade their power rankings, but you've got a team, a notorious team with a long NFL history that you think is overrated.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because it really depends what other teams think about these teams. But Green Bay is clearly overrated. Green Bay went 13-3 last year, and it was a fugazi. The bottom line is Green Bay won a whole bunch of close games. If you look at a yards per play perspective, Green Bay actually got outgained. They gained 5.5 yards per play. They gave up 5.7. And now, my goodness, Aaron Rodgers not happy with Jordan Love. I got a feeling that Green Bay may well slip to 500 this year.
Really?
Yes.
Now, one team we disagree on are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I actually think they're going to be very good. We know they went 7-9 last year. In the last 7 games, their defense was ranked in the top tier. It were turnovers that killed them, right? I know Jameis turned the ball over 38 times. Fez, what if I told you 22 of those 38 turnovers were inside their own 39-yard line, Tampa Bay's, which created tremendous stress on the Tampa Bay Bucs defense. But of his interceptions, 30 of them, 6 were on the first possession, 6 were while they were leading in the fourth quarter, and 6 were pick sixes. And they still managed to win 7 games.
And what a fitting end to Tampa Bay's season that in overtime, week 17, they're playing Atlanta. And how does their season end? Oh, Jameis throws a pick 6 for the Falcons to win the game in overtime.
And they lost 2 games in overtime and 2 games by 4 points. But in spite of all that, and I believe that Bucs are going to be a 10-win team, you're not sold on them.
I am not, and here's why. Everyone is talking about Tom Brady and how valuable Tom Brady is. In fact, one of the local sportsbook directors said Brady is the most valuable player on the point spread to his team. I got to be honest, 43-year-old quarterbacks in the NFL, Bernie, have won a grand total starting of 2 games.
It's Vinny Testaverde. Thank you very much.
Yes, in the history of the NFL. So now we've got the entire history of the NFL, we've got something that's happened twice, and Brady's got to win 10 or 11 games for this team to go over their total.
No. Go ahead. But that's the fallacy. I'm going to say what I'm going to say, but go ahead.
Prove it, Tom. Prove it. You were an average quarterback last year in QBR. You're my number 19 rated quarterback. I get it. You're not going to turn the ball over. You know what else you're not going to do? You're not going to be able to throw the ball 40 yards down the field to Evans and to Godwin and have this no risk, no biscuit offense click under Arians like it should have clicked with Winston potentially last year.
So let's run this back for just a second. Who's the one guy everybody's talking about? Tom
Brady.
Right here, dude. As Jeff Spicoli said in Fast Times when he was sitting in Mr. Hand's class and someone said, who ordered the pizza? And he said, right here, dude. I'm the one talking about Tom Brady. I'm going to tell you why. I started to analyze some of Tom Brady's achievements in New England, and I could not stop looking at this. This is what, to me, turned my head and blew me away. Did you know that when Tom Brady in his career faced teams with a better record, faced teams with which wasn't often, right? But they played 52 such games over 20 years. When New England played a team with a better record, Brady was 39-13 straight up, 37-11-4 against the spread, including 20-2 straight up and 19-2 against the spread when the Pats were coming off a loss. Oh, by the way, in the playoffs, Brady 9-2 straight up against the spread against foes with a superior record in the playoffs. That's the stuff goats are made of, or I call him the Grat, the greatest resume of all time. What's my point? He steps up when it matters. He's got a chip on his shoulder. He's already working with his receivers. He doesn't have to return kicks, play defense, punt, all those things. He just needs to game manage, make a few plays, and elevate everybody around him. He's going to have more weapons than he's ever had, a great coach, and an above-average defense in a division that I believe is ripe for the taking. It's either them or New Orleans. I think Atlanta overachieved last year when it was too late and it didn't matter. And are they going to have a team in Carolina this year? Or is Matt Rhule going
to
have one?
They're going to go ahead and cancel the season with Carolina, with Bridgewater not having time to prepare, and Matt Rhule coming in with brand-new coaches. Carolina is going to win five games, and you're right, Atlanta, not only do they have some issues, they have the hardest schedule in the NFL. But getting back to Tom Brady, and there's no problem having a Tom Brady discussion on your time and my time. It's our time, as Mr. Hand would say in Fast Time at Ridgemont High. We could have the same discussion about how wonderful Brett Favre was and how great Peyton Manning was in their careers, but after they turned
the straw man argument. What is every you, Rob Parker? You come at me with the straw man argument that has no context or relevancy.
Well, after post age 40, let's see how we saw how those guys did.
How
and now Brady's 43.
How old? Okay, was he post age 40 in Super Bowl 51 in 2000? Was he post age 40 when he won one? Yes. And was he post age 40 when he led the team to the playoffs last year with no weapons? Yes. Look at the guy. He's not normal. He's an outlier. And he's stepping into a, I think, an almost perfect environment for him.
There's no doubt that he's gone from having questionable weapons to having some really dynamic weapons with the Bucs. He's going to have to prove it to me. I really think that the wheels could come off Tom Brady this year. Now, I've got to be fair. I've been saying this for years about the great one, and he's kept performing.
And give it up to Favre when he went to Minnesota. They came this close. I'm holding my fingers a half an inch apart from taking the Vikings to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the New Orleans Saints had some cheap, cheap shots on him. But, you know, the year after...
Our boss, Scott Shapiro, might fire me after this one. Why do you ponder passing? One of the greatest... Oh, anyway, I digress. Look, one last quarterback, and I got to give you credit. Look out for the Kansas City Chiefs again next year. They got 20 of their 22 starters back. And they drafted well, and they got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, another weapon, but generational Pat Mahomes, 5-0 last season in games when they were trailing by double digits.
Yeah, and I firmly believe it wasn't just Mahomes missing those three games where Matt Moore came in and they did lose to Green Bay, but those losses at home to Indy and to Houston were close games where clearly Mahomes had an issue with his ankle. So here's a team that really had many games compromised with Mahomes' health, and Spagnuolo, defensive coordinator, that Chiefs defense just got better and better as the year went on.
One last thing about the aforementioned New England Patriots. What goes up must come down. After having the last 2 years, based on opponents' relative soft schedule, matter of fact, New England had the easiest schedule last year. Coming up this year, their opponents' win-loss cumulative record percentage, 540. New England's, I think it's going to be a real long year for the Patriots. That's a conversation for another day. Up next, you know him, you live him, you know him, you love him, you can't live without him. It's Mackin' on Sports. As usual, he's got some very clever data on a sport that's gotten a lot of traction during the coronavirus shutdown. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted, so don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas.
Straight Outta Vegas!
One of the best in the business, Bernie Fratto.
We are back on Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. Get your free credit scorecard today, even if you're not a Discover customer. And include your FICO credit score, and checking your scorecard won't hurt your credit. Learn more at discover.com/credit scorecard. Limitations apply. Before I go any further, I want to thank my broadcast team back in Los Angeles, Chris Perfett, Eric Roberts, and Brian Finley, turning all the dials, keeping us glued together, and as always, great job. All right, here we go. Mackin' on Sports, you know him, you love him, you can't live without him. When we signed on with this feature back on February 8th, he was hot in the NBA, hotter than Jason, who's that kid that hit all those three-pointers anyway? And now he's got something with a sport that he's found a trend. And Jason McElwain, I think it was. You found a trend, McKenzie. Great homework, great research.
It's not exactly found. This is just staring at us in the face. I'm actually mad I didn't bring it up earlier and I didn't bet it every day this week. It's unbelievable. Every sport, it keeps happening. This is magma hot worldwide. Stop me if you've heard this before, Bernie. I know you have.
Well, first tell them which sport it is.
Doesn't matter. That's the point, but they'll get to that. What's hot right now, if you want to bet right now and make some money, German football, top flight German football, road teams, particularly road favorites. Remember February 8th? That was the NBA. 60% this season, especially if you look at that 5 to 10 range. And I just found this out. I can't believe it was staring me in the face. NFL road favorites this year, 59% against the spread. But we don't care about the results from the past. We want to make money right now. And how are we going to do that? Well, road favorites. If you just bet every road team in German soccer, $900. If you just eliminate the biggest road dog, so plus 400 or more, so plus 380 counts, plus 175 counts, minus 175 counts, if you just bet every single one of them, there's only been 35 matches, you're up $1,700. That's a decent ROI, right? You know, 50% pretty much. It's unbelievable how this keeps happening, and it makes sense. Travel's getting easier. Nutrition, practice, it's all more coordinated, better to be able to get your top flight ability on any given day wherever you are. And now, home teams, more road teams are doing well, but home teams are doing particularly poorly. They're not scoring any goals, Bernie. Why? It's an eerie stadium. It's like when you play in those big stadiums in college basketball and you're not used to it, you can't shoot. When you're playing in your own home stadium with the same colors and the same security guard, but nobody there cheering for you, it just hasn't been happening for these teams. Just today, a minus 900 favorite. Couldn't even win.
So
that team is how we're going to take advantage. They're going to be extra focused. They need the points to make the Champions League, the most lucrative soccer team. RB Leipzig, minus one, Friday.
That's your best bet. That's my best bet.
Minus one, minus 120. They're extra focused. They're on the road, and they're a team that's going to execute just like all these other road teams have been.
All right. So it's great research. RB Leipzig, they're minus 120 at Hoffenheim next Friday, June 12th. And you're telling us Leipzig's got this game kind of circled, right?
Absolutely. Timo Werner, their best player, has just announced he's going to Chelsea. That was the day before their last game, and then they had this huge upset draw. Couldn't win as a minus 900 favorite. Well, that's in the past now. That's a week. He was able to talk to the guys. Hey, I'm committed to this team for the next month before I go on to bigger and better things. Let's get it done. It's huge money, Bernie. It's like twice as much money if they can make the Champions League versus not. They got to get this game. I don't think it's any disadvantage. Might be an advantage to be on the road. They were laying 250 at home. They're laying 120 now on the road. It's bad pricing. The market's adjusting not nearly fast enough. RB Leipzig minus one.
All right, very good. That's the Bundesliga soccer in Germany. And hey, to a gambler, money's green. I don't care if it's Australian rules, duck, duck, goose. All right, Fez, before we get to your best bet, you've got a quick take on the NHL. Now, we know this. There are 24 teams that will be in the playoffs. We just don't know when it's going to start or where they're going to be played. They're down to 10 cities, and there will be two hubs, and we'll figure that all out. I know that camp's not going to start before July 10th. But you've again, found an angle in terms of somebody drawing the short straw.
Yeah, I really think the 1 through 4 seeds have a huge advantage in these playoffs, and here's why. They're going to play a round robin, the 1s, 2s, 3s, and 4s. There's no home ice to be won in all this. So those teams really don't have to go all out. Those games aren't going to matter. They're just getting back into shape. Contrast that with the 5 through 8 seeds that are going to play the 9 through 12 seeds, basically a qualifying round of the playoffs, best 3 out of 5. Those are going to be wars. So whoever can get through those series then will play the 1, 2, 3, and 4 seeds, advantage the top seeds in the NHL in the first round. I expect that those teams, even without home ice, are going to do better than they historically have done when they had the home ice.
You know, you wonder if the Golden Knights will benefit as well, because they'll have a round robin, and they were several points behind St. Louis for the overall one seed. But we'll put hockey on the back burner for now, because, like I said, even though I give them credit for coming up with a pretty creative end of the season tournament, as it were, we don't know when it's going to start, and we don't know where it's going to be played, so it's hard. Let's go, Fez, let's circle back to the NFL. It's never too soon. McKenzie gave us the best bet for Bundesliga. You gave us the best bet for American football.
Yeah, let's do season wins. New York Giants to go under 6.5 season wins. Going to have to lay a little extra. Vigorous, -$1.35. And the number one reason for this bet, strength of schedule. Last year, Giants weren't very good. They were 4-12. As it turns out, the Giants had the easiest schedule in the NFL last year. Still could only win 4 games. This year, the Giants have the second hardest schedule in the NFL. So if you can only win 4 games when you had the easiest schedule, you're not going to be able to win 7 games if you have the second hardest. Giants are up against it. Got a brand new head coach. Giants under 6.5 wins, -$1.35.
Sounds like a solid bet, Fez. All right, McKenzie, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Fez, thanks for joining us. It won't be long until football is here, and we'll be on. You'll be on every show. That's going to do it, folks. For this week's edition of Straight Out of Vegas, I'm Bernie Fratto. We want you to keep it locked right here. Next up, the man from Nashville. He brings it strong. You know him. It's the Jason Martin Show. So keep it locked right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Out of Vegas!